Luke chapter 15, and if you could go to verse 11. I didn't hear very many people going, Luke, today. I heard you. You know why that is? Yeah. Yeah, what was his name, Mr.? What was his name? What? Yeah, Mr. Patrick wasn't here, so I just want to show you a couple things because I think it'll be helpful. But in Luke chapter 15, verse starting with verse 11, and I'll read to you the story that we just heard, starting with verse 11. Guys, flow with me in the back because I'm going to read it through, so just get ready to go to verse to verse. Then he said, a certain man had two sons. This is Jesus speaking. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of your goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. Notice he divided to who? Them. Later on in the story, in the parable, the older son says, Dad, you haven't given me anything, which was a deception. It wasn't true, because when he divided the inheritance, he divided it between his sons. That's what the Bible says. Verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pots that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he had come to himself, let's say that together. But when he had come to himself, let's say that again. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. Let's say that together. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. This is what he had played it out in his mind. He had said, this is what I'm going to say. So he plays this out in his mind, what he's going to say. He's rehearsed it. And when he arose, verse 20, and when he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell at his neck and kissed him. You see the passion that his father has. He's not waiting. He's not going to make him grovel. He doesn't have any animosity. He doesn't have any bitterness for what he's done. He sees that his son is coming to him. And his son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. He's not through what he was going to say. Watch this, verse 22. But the father said to his servants, the son is talking. He just kind of ignores his son mid-sentence, goes and starts talking to the servants. And look at what he says. And his father said to his servants, bring the best robe and put it on him, and put the ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let's eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called to one of the servants and asked that those things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf." But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore the father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandments at any time, and yet you have never given me a young goat and have made merry with my friends. But as soon as the son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots and killed the fatted calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It is right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother is dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." I just want to make a couple of points, and I won't speak long just because of the time and because I believe what the Holy Spirit wants to do. But I want to point out that this understanding, and I want you to catch what is really going on here. And sometimes in the marketing that is done to us in our society, we can, as Christians, start to feel like we're missing out on something. We can start to feel like the prodigal son did. That's what he felt. He felt like there's something out there, you know what, that there's some kind of living that I'm not doing in my home. You know what, maybe you were raised in a church, or maybe somehow you got here, but you're living a holy life, and you are, and here's the deal, and with all the stuff going on, there's a temptation for you to be drawn back into the world, into something you say, no, that's better. Can I tell you, young kids, you know what, young adults, you know what, youth, you know what, middle-aged people, you know what, older people, listen, it's all the same. The world, the wages of sin is death. Jesus said it like this: "I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Satan comes to steal, to kill, and destroy." See, that's where the son, the younger son, is confused. That's where he got messed up. And can I tell you what? We don't have to go to prodigal living. We don't have to go to the world. I love what one writer said. He said, "The world has nothing for us." Well, that's true, but the world has something if you'll take it, and it's death and it's disease and it's misery and it's heartache and it's depression and it's not a good time. See, here's and it's so in my heart that we understand this. Here, I said it Wednesday, but I'm going to say it again. The problem that Eve had, and it's the same problem that we have, is when Satan says this: "You will not surely die." God says to her, "You know what?" Or Satan says to her, "Has God said that?" Questioning. She says, "Yeah, that's what God said. God said, when I eat that, if we eat this fruit, that we're going to die." Satan says the opposite that what God says. Satan says, no, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. You can eat it. Matter of fact, that fruit is a good fruit. Can I tell you what? Satan is a liar. And so I don't know what it is. I don't know what the temptation is. Here's what the Bible says, that with the way of temptation, there is escape. Here's what I got in my spirit this morning as I was praying. And I don't know who this is for. I believe this is for a lot of people. But I heard in my spirit that there's been a resistance in our church, in our awesome church. You know what? Everybody loves God. Everybody's like, oh, praise the Lord. I'm glad you're here. Oh, I'm glad you're here. Oh, praise the Lord. No, praise the Lord, you more. Glory, hallelujah. You know what I mean? And praise God for that. I'm glad that you greet each other. I'm glad we have a joyous church. I'm glad we love to worship God. But I'm just telling you what I got in my spirit. In my spirit, here's what I got. There is a resistance. And we can come to church, you know what? But we've got our favorite, whatever it is, or something that we just want to hang on to. We just don't want to give it up. We just have, for whatever reason, you know what? Maybe you have associated this with, you know what? You're walking in fear. You think, no, if I do that, that, you know what? If I break up with this person, if I give that amount of money, if I forgive this person, if I whatever it is, it could be something. Listen to me. The Bible says to him who knows what's right to do and doesn't do it, that's sin. I don't know what God is saying to you. Here's what I'm saying, that God's commandments are not burdensome. That anything that God is asking you to do, that the wisest thing to do is to do. Listen, God is a God of love. He cares about you more than anyone else ever cared about you. And he knows what is best for you. He tells the Apostle Paul, he says, why are you kicking against a goad? A goad was a sharp stick. Why are you resisting me? And I hear the Spirit of God saying the same thing to this 9 o'clock congregation. I hear God saying, I love what John Bevere said. Listen to me very carefully, because here's where we have been deceived. We think we can come into church, and the pastor at the end of the service will say, whatever we're talking about, maybe we're talking about forgiveness. Maybe we're talking about generosity. Maybe we're talking about something. I don't know what it is. But we're convicted by the Holy Spirit. You know that the message was designed for you. You know that you need to make an adjustment. You know you need to make a change. You know you need to move forward. You know you need to whatever it is. Break up, forgive, give. I don't know what the issue is, but you know God is talking to you. And I'll say, with every head bowed and every eyes closed, if God said something to you, if you want to make a change, if you want to confess that sin. See, in our world now, it's not even popular to call it a sin. Like, that's taboo to, ooh, don't call it a sin. No, can I tell you what? And I don't know what I'm talking about. The Bible says to him who knows what's right to do and doesn't do it, that's a sin. I don't know what it is. God could be telling you something, you know what, as simple as, you know what, stop drinking so much soda. Stop drinking soda at all. You know what, kiss your wife more. You know what, take your kids out bowling. I don't know what he's saying. He could be saying, you know what, stop playing video games so much. Stop playing video games at all. You know what? You need to give up sports. You need to give up. I don't know what he's saying. He said, Pastor, God's not against sports. He probably is. You know what? If you stay out of the house of God because you're too busy watching the Lakers, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Pastor, what are you talking about? You know what? The Lakers are finally starting to get good, I think. God wouldn't tell me that now. Listen, I don't know what the issue is. Here's what I know. Here's what I know. I know what the Holy Spirit told me this morning. And here's what the Holy Spirit told me. And I'll get back to John Bevere in a minute. But the Holy Spirit told me, there's a resistance. There's a resistance. And people who are coming in the 9 o'clock service and the 11 o'clock service, they've resisted what I've asked them to do. And I'm get, you know, praise God, I get to be selected to tell you. Okay, so here's the message. Stop resisting God. Stop thinking God is not the blesser. God is the blesser. But he cannot bless you upon your disobedience to do what he tells you to do. Because let me tell you about God. God, let me use Christian as an example. Come on up here, Christian, quickly. Let me tell you about God. Christian's over here, and he's getting here. Come on up here on stage. That's even better. He's Christian can be used of God, or he cannot be used of God. See, the Bible says that God has set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Tamara, don't let me forget about what John Bevere said, because I'm going to go back to there. But Christian can be used of God, or he can he not be used of God. And it is not up to God. Let me tell you how God votes already. God has already voted. God has proved himself to Christian by sending his son. Listen, if there's any proof, you don't need more proof than this, that Jesus, you know what, came down to this earth, shed his blood, was pierced on a cross, you know what, bled and died, that Christian would have life and life more abundantly, that there would be this fulfillment. Can I tell you what? There is no, listen to me, someone hear me, there is no better life than to live fully committed, full throttle, 180 degrees for Christ. Forsaking all that junk that you once said, oh, that is good. See, the prodigal son at some point in time recognized the wages of sin is death. And how many of you have recognized in your life as you got drunk and got high and smoked too much weed and took too many drugs and had sex with too many people and did all kinds of things and gossiped way too much and did all kinds of behaviors that were ungodly, and at some point in time you recognize this is not a good thing, that the things that my parents tried to instill in me or the things that God has spoken to me, that is the good life? How many have recognized that? But let me tell you what, and here's the message, but we've recognized that and recognized that and we've turned, I'm going to get to you, Christian, and I'm going to get to you in a minute, but we've turned and we said yes and we recognize that, but listen to me, but too much time has taken place. And the enemy would come in and say, yeah, but you can still do this a little. I mean, you remember how good it felt? You know what? And after all, God doesn't really have your best interest at stake. Actually, God is kind of prissy, you know what? And don't want you to have fun. I want you to party. And we've forgotten. We've forgotten the poison, the bitterness that sin is. Because here's why. Because we've walked in the blessing. Will Christian be used by God or not? Well, if it's up to God, he's already shown Jesus Christ, he wants him to. But whether Christian is used by God or whether Christian is not used by God, it is up to Christian. And it's up to Christian to when God says, you know what, take that foot and put it right here. Can you do that, Christian? Can you put it right there? Right there? Right? No, right there. That's right. And then take that foot and put that right here. Okay? And then take that foot and put it right here. And then take that foot and put it right here. Okay? And what is Christian doing? Christian now is being moved by the Spirit of God, and he is, listen to me, and he's about to go to a place. Here's what the Bible says. that God is our good shepherd, that he will lead you to still waters. He'll lead you to pastures that are green. He'll lead you to prosperity. I'm not talking about a secular definition of prosperity, but he's going to lead you to the place where you need to go, but he's going to lead you. No way in the Bible do you see God doing this. Right here, because you were right here. He doesn't push you. He leads you. And he gives you direction and says, do this, go here, go there, put that foot here. And he just leads you, you know what? But here's what I hear. Thank you, Christian. Here's what I hear. I hear the Holy Spirit say, but there's resistance. There's resistance. John Bevere said this, every time you hear a message, you are changed. Every time you hear a message, you're changed. But here's what we think. Everyone listen to me very carefully. Here's what we think. We think, no. You know what? I almost was convicted to change, but thank God. It was a hard one, man. I was sweating, and the Holy Spirit was convicting me, and I was thinking, oh, but I died, oh, just wait, because in 4 minutes, it'll be over, and it'll be good. I know you're laughing, not because you know have any idea what I'm talking about. And you white knuckle it, and you in the presence of the Holy Spirit, you're able to just resist until we get to be outside just eating a taquito or something, and everything's good then. And the very purpose that you were called to be here, you didn't take advantage of. And John Bevere is right. You are changed. Because every single time you say no to God, your heart gets a little harder. And it becomes a little easier for you to say no the next time. And say no the next time. And say no the next time. And your heart, you know what, becomes very callous. And you're still coming to church. And you're still hearing the message. But we have become a professional resistor. Praise the Lord. So that's a message today. And here's what I'm asking you to do. If you have resisted God right there where you are, if you physically can't do it, then just in your heart do it. But right there where you are, I want you to get on your knees. Listen to me before don't do it yet. Listen. I want you to get on your knees. And I want you to repent. You know what? I want you to repent. Yeah, but that knee stuff, that's Catholic. I don't know what it is. I'm just telling you what the Holy Spirit is saying. You need to get on your knees today. You need to ask for forgiveness. And whatever area you have not repented for, you need to repent right now, quickly. Someone who's hearing what the Spirit of God, get on their knees right now. Get on their knees right now. If you're hearing from God, repent. Repent. I'm not going to lead you. You start crying out to God. You start crying out to God. You ask God. I can't ask God for your forgiveness. You need to ask God for your forgiveness. You need to go back to that place where you resisted God and God spoke to you and you said, no, I'm going to stay where I'm at, and thinking that you didn't change, but no, you changed. Your heart got harder and God is speaking. He's crying out to you. He's crying out to his people and he's saying, come back to me, because you're running out of time. And each time you come in this place, and each time you come and resist me, your heart is getting harder and harder, and you don't even recognize it. You pray. You pray. You cry out to God. Father, I thank you for people who are repenting right now. Father, I thank you that you will. You said that we would repent, that times of refreshing would come. Father, I thank you that even this afternoon, they would feel a joy like they've never felt before. They would feel a love that they would never felt before. They would feel a restoration. They would feel the just a supernatural filling of your Spirit, God. They would feel the love of God like they haven't felt in years. Father, that you are restoring us to maybe how we felt, how we were passionate when we first got saved, God. I praise God for what you're doing in this place, and I thank you for every person who has the integrity to repent. And I thank you that you will honor your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Well, you can get back on your feet. If somebody around you needs some help, please help them up on their feet. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Let's just lift up our hands and say, hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Oh, hallelujah, God. Thank you, Father. Amen, 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 amen. Well, I know it's hard for me when you have something like that, it's just hard to transition, but praise God, we're just going to be obedient to what God says. Honey, you want to come on up and close out the service for us? Love you, baby.
I'm not sure the slide with Pastor Drew's dad's service. Where is that? Is it in the bulletin too? Can someone help me? Anyone? Okay, so the service for Pastor Drew's father is not here at Hope. It's not here at Hope. Let me say it one more time. It's not here at Hope. Because, yeah, wouldn't we all think? So, but it's not. So I want to be sure that you don't just, you know, come right over here thinking you're coming to the service. But here's where the service is and when the service is. If you knew Dr. Cohen, then I think you heard already that he's with the Lord, and we are having the service over here. That's Drew's mom's church. So that's where we're going to have it, is over there. And then I think that, yeah, that's good. I think the only thing I had in my spirit is just to share, because it's just really important. When Pastor Drew was talking about the Lakers or whatever, we can get real defensive in stuff that we like, whatever it is. I don't care what it is. Here's what God has an issue with. God has a big issue with idols, does he not? Anything that has more of your time and attention than God does in your life becomes an idol. Something that's more important than he is, that's an idol. And so that's why he says, you know, to put him first. You know what? It's in him, you know what, is where he just wants our affections there. You know what? And we need to see him as the loving father that he is. You know what? Abba Father. Our dear Papa. That's different. Do you see him like that? If you don't see him as your dear Papa, then you're not going to walk in the fullness of your relationship with God. Just like the Father was with the Son today in the play, that's how God is with us. And that is in the Word of God, that we would understand, you know what, that God is fully aware of our shortcomings. He's fully aware, you know what, of our failures. And he insists that we not walk in that shame. He insists that we be sons and daughters of his, that we understand that we're clothed in his righteousness, not ours. And so if we really, if you don't see God that way, you need to spend a lot more time understanding from the scriptures what God says about you and about him. and about how we get there. Because it's critical that you see him that way, or you just will never know him like Jesus knew him. And that's what Jesus prays for us. He prays that you and I would be one with the Father like he and the Father are one. This is a big deal. This is a big deal. And so we need to begin to just transform our minds and know who we are to Christ. Amen. And who the Father is, you know what, to us. Amen. Amen.